Hey, hey, welcome to today's fascinating topic. Let's unravel how our faith not only coexists with financial prosperity, but how it empowers us. Today on the Flamingo Advantage podcast, I'm your host, Katie Horner, and this is the show where we talk about blending faith and business, using your uniqueness to grow that God has put in your hands for His glory. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like you have to hide your faith in order to be successful in business? Welcome to the Flamingo Advantage podcast, where Christian marketing and client experience coach Katie Horner leads you to embrace your uniqueness, to see the marketplace as a mission field and your business as an act of worship.
Hey, welcome in. Today's topic is how we can use wealth, how Christians view wealth, how Christians think about wealth. And I'm going to take this from the angle today of how wealthy Christians think. Like, what have they embodied or what have they believed? What is their perspective in how they think about money that allows them to create wealth, grow wealth, maintain wealth, preserve wealth, pass on wealth to future generations? And so there's four mindsets that I want us to look at today that are the mindsets that wealthy Christian entrepreneurs embody. Those we're going to go into in depth, but the first one is the dominion mindset. And all of these you will find are based in scripture because that is where truth is found. That is where the power to do anything is found. And so first off, the dominion mindset. I'm going to reference Genesis 1:28 here, where God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the things that are in it, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the heavens, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And so this principle of dominion that implies a responsibility and a governance over the resources that God has provided is our guiding principle for this dominion mindset. I believe that we have been gifted everything in this world to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. 2 Peter talks about how we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. And I believe that those things include the wealth. In fact, the first mention of gold in scripture is early in Genesis, where God calls the gold good. And so those good things, even though it wasn't used for trade and for monetary purposes back then the way we use it today, it was still called good in its original status, and man was given dominion over even that. And so rich Christians understand that wealth is a gift from God for life and godliness to be used for His glory. Another example from scripture is Abraham. He was wealthy. He had vast resources. He had flocks and herds. He had cattle. He always recognized that wealth as a blessing from God. He used it to fulfill God's purposes in Genesis chapter 13. He didn't give it all away just because he was a friend of God. Wealthy believers understand that the responsibility we have for managing and growing well the resources that God puts in our hands. Like, we understand that we're not to be tricked, we're not to be guilted into decisions that could deplete those resources, but we're to invest them and to use them and to manage them in the ways necessary to grow what God has put in our hands. We also have the example of King David, who used his wealth to plan for the temple, a place for God's glory in 1 Chronicles 29. David dominated that international landscape during his day. He understood his role as a leader to God's people and as an example to the rest of the world. And he amassed great wealth so that others could do the work of God in preparing for the temple to be built by the next generation. Wealthy Christian entrepreneurs use wealth to assert godly influence over the things that they manage and to fulfill those divine purposes. And so if you want an example of this, let's talk about Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A in our modern world. Truett Cathy demonstrated, I believe, a dominion mindset by establishing this fast food empire guided by his Christian principles. We see this most obviously in the way he's decided to keep the chain closed on Sundays as a testament to his commitment to letting his faith guide his decisions and his influence on the business world. He is dominating that business scene, not in spite of, but because of his faith. Another example is someone you may not know, Justin Janowski, one of our former guests on this show. You can find a link to that one in the show notes for this episode. But Justin Janowski has dominated the field of sales trainings for Christian entrepreneurs. He has trained, he has learned, he has practiced, he has succeeded, and now he trains other people in the art and science of spiritually serving your people with a sales conversation, a sales invitation that honors them, that honors God's work in them, that honors what God is doing in their lives. And I believe he's one of the best in the business in teaching sales to Christian entrepreneurs. He's dominated that, and he's taken what God has given him and managed it well and grown it. Now, the second mindset that rich Christians have is a stewardship mindset. And again, we're going to refer to Luke chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 25 with the parable of the talents, right? But Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12 says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been found faithful with the unrighteous wealth, who's going to entrust to you true riches? But if you have been faithful in that which is another's, who will not give you more of that which is your own?" The principle here is of management and managing the resources that are entrusted to our care, the stewardship mindset. Matthew 25, that parable of the talents, where we're shown that wealth is given to us for the purpose of growing it and using it for the master's purposes. It must be carefully managed so that we can do what he's asked us to do with it. The one who grew it was commended. The one who hid it and just preserved it as it was called lazy and wicked. Another example of this from the Old Testament, Solomon's wisdom in managing Israel's wealth. This led to a golden era of prosperity for him, 1 Kings chapter 4. Again, in the New Testament, we have the example of Paul, who, although not wealthy in material terms, exemplified stewardship in the way that he made tents and sold them in the marketplace. He took initiative. He was using that activity as a way to create wealth, create a way to fund what God had called him to do, and doing it in a place where he could minister simultaneously. Later in his life, we see him managing the resources that others provided for his missionary journeys in Acts chapter 18. I believe wealthy Christian entrepreneurs focus on their responsibility to use and grow the resources entrusted to them. And so here's another modern day example of stewardship, David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby. David Green runs his business based on Christian values. He's been very vocal about the fact that he manages his company's resources responsibly and ethically, about how they invest in Christian ministry. His commitment to investing profits into those ministry efforts, I believe, showcases that stewardship over the wealth that has been generated with his business. It's not just for him to enjoy, but he's also doing with it what he believes God wants him to do with it, using it for God's purposes. Another lesser known example, I think, is Dan Miller of 48 Days to the Work You Love. He's also been a guest on this show, if you've checked the show notes for that link. But Dan Miller emphasizes the importance of using your own unique talents responsibly in a way to grow what you have. And he advocates this proactive approach to career development, where individuals take charge of their career paths. They use the talents they've been given and they create something out of it that can earn. And this, again, it's mirroring that biblical principle of stewardship, where every person is responsible for the talents and resources that they have been given to be able to do more with it for God's glory. And I have seen Dan Miller steward his own abilities by constantly seeking to expand on his knowledge and his capabilities and spread that wisdom in the entrepreneurial world. By the way, one of our unique talents at the Flamingo Advantage is marketing for Christian-owned businesses. And we have something called the Flamboyant Marketing Newsletter that comes out each week with marketing tips and reminders of simple things you can do to keep growing your business. We would love to gift you a free issue of that. If you want to head over to theflamingoadvantage.com/news, you can sign up for a free issue of the Flamboyant Marketing Newsletter. All right, the third mindset is the impact mindset. And our scripture for this is Proverbs 19:17. "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." And I believe that the scriptural principle here is using wealth to make a positive impact, particularly through the acts of compassion and generosity toward those that are in need, impacting those in the here and now. And so this third mindset of the rich Christian entrepreneur is the mindset of impact. How can I make an impact with what I have now, currently, in this moment? Rich Christian entrepreneurs view wealth as a tool for immediate good, embodying compassion and generosity. I think they use it as a tool for purpose and for impact. And the scripture example, Aquila and Priscilla, supported early church Christians. They used the resources they had for greater good. Acts 18 is where you find the story of Aquila and Priscilla. And their story, I think, also illustrates that whole idea of integration of faith and family and finances in the way that they walked out their faith in their community and through their business. The Good Samaritan, referenced in Luke chapter 10, here we see a man who uses his resources to care for a stranger in need. Wealth, in the eyes of a rich Christian, is not just for personal gain, but it's a resource to serve and uplift others, showcasing God's love and generosity through our actions. And it's interesting in that passage, Luke chapter 10, that the Good Samaritan was not commended for his wealth, but he was commended for his compassion. He was commended for his compassion. The wealth was never even mentioned in there other than as a detail of how he took care of the man that he rescued. Wealth was a tool, and his compassion was used to make an impact. But if he hadn't have had the tool, he couldn't have exercised the same amount of compassion. And so the more we make, the more good we can do in the world. Lydia in Acts chapter 16 is another example, a successful businesswoman. Lydia used her resources to support Paul and his companions, significantly impacting the early church. Another widowed lady, Dorcas, also used her resources to make clothes for widows in Acts chapter 9. And so wealthy Christian entrepreneurs using wealth to make tangible, positive impacts on others' lives. A modern day example of this, I believe, would be Kay Arthur. Kay is the co-founder of Precept Ministries International. She's known for her influential Bible study methods as a Christian teacher. She co-founded Precept Ministries. She had a radio show for many years. I can remember listening to it on the radio as a child. Her ministry has had a global impact of teaching people to study the Bible inductively. And it's also interesting to note that she's built a profitable business that is also considered a ministry. Her work exemplifies using your talents and resources to make a significant and compassionate impact on others' spiritual lives. She actually was just recently inducted into both the National Religious Broadcaster Hall of Fame, and she was awarded the Pillar Impact Award by the Museum of the Bible for her impact on the world during her lifetime. All right, number four, how rich Christians think about money is they have a legacy mindset. And our scripture for this is Proverbs 13, 22, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And this principle, I believe, is one of building wealth and resources, not only for our own immediate benefit, but also for that lasting good of future generations. This is about building and leaving a lasting impact that transcends generations. Joseph, for instance, in the Old Testament, not only saved Egypt from famine, but he ensured the survival of his family tree, Genesis chapter 41. And like Joseph, I think that rich Christians have these unique skills and insights from God that, when applied to our business, can lead us to prosperity and the ability to help others in times of need, even into future generations. Take a look at Boaz in Ruth chapter 4. When he married Ruth, he was not only providing for his family, something that another kinsman did not want to do, but he also secured a legacy that led to the birth of King David, who we know was in the line of Christ. David's preparations for the temple in 1 Chronicles 22, again, this was leaving a legacy for future generations through wealth that God allowed him to collect. And then the Proverbs 31 woman, through her wisdom, her entrepreneurship, had an immediate impact of provision and honor for her family and her staff within the community, but she also left a legacy of virtue and strength that we're still being impacted by today. And that's from Proverbs 31. A modern day example of the mindset of legacy, I believe, would be Pat Robertson. If you know him as the founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, or CBN, this is one of the largest television ministries in the world. His work in media and philanthropy is just quite incredible. He's also founded the American Center for Law and Justice, and he founded Regent University. He has been focused on building that legacy that both aligns with his Christian values and it impacts these other areas of our culture and our educational system, media, law, education, all of these through his faith-driven initiatives. And a not so well-known entrepreneur with legacy mindset, I believe, is you. If you are preserving your thoughts or your teachings, your skills in online formats like blogs or podcasts or videos, you are creating courses or you're producing published literature like books or magazine articles. I believe you are also preserving a legacy. You're preserving the message that God has given to you so it can continue to impact people even after you're gone. This legacy mindset is about creating wealth that blesses future generations, aligned with God's plans. And that wealth is often financial, but I think it's also wealth in terms of information and freedom-giving trainings and teachings that break the cycle, that teach people how to live and give as God directs, that teach people to live by the Spirit, by the truth that is found in God's Word. 2 Peter 1:1-9 begins the chapter talking about how God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then he goes through and he names the character qualities that makes us successful. And not a single one of those character qualities mention any kind of amassing of financial wealth. I think it's both because that is a secondary in importance to our character, and I think it's because a financial wealth is a given for the believer. In verse 8, he says that if these character qualities are in you and abound, they make you fertile and fruitful. But if you lack these things, you are blind and you have forgotten God's gift of forgiveness and redemption. I think it's important that we remember that our approach to money as a believer, specifically as a Christian entrepreneur, our approach to money and wealth is deeply intertwined with our faith. True wealth in the life of a Christian starts and ends with our relationship with God. May you know him, may you walk with him, may you embrace the riches that he wants to bestow into your care for greater dominion, greater stewardship, greater impact, and greater legacy. If this has been thought-provoking for you, leave me a comment today. I hope you'll share it with a friend. I look forward to your response, and I can't wait to see you in the next episode.
If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and consider joining our free listener community at theflamingoadvantage.com. Remember, my friends, your message matters and your voice is needed. Don't be afraid to let your flamingo show.